All right, if you would, go ahead and take your Bibles and go to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. We're going to read verses 13 and 14. And 1 Kings chapter 22 and verses 13 and 14. I will read verse 13, and if together we can read verse 14. And let's go ahead and stand as we read the Word of God this morning. 1 Kings chapter 22 and verses 13 and 14. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophet declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity and the freedom that we have to where we can come and assemble today, where we can hear the Word of God. We can worship you for the Word of God and what you've done for us and what you have for us to do. And we just pray that you continue to bless. But Lord, we need you to meet with us this morning. We need you to speak to our hearts. So please, if you'd help us to open up our ears, open up our hearing, open up our hearts to hear the Word of God this morning. So Holy Spirit of God, please pray that you bless. Please feel free to share your power as he brings a message to us today. And Lord, we'll give you honor for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I want to preach to you a message this morning, kind of following the theme of last week, of course, as we've been our theme this year, light in the Lord. And of course, God has given us his light through creation. He's given us light through our own conscience that there is a God, that there is a creator. And as we follow that light, of course, as the Bible says, faith upon faith, as God reveals more and more to us through his precious word, that we can proclaim and stand and be the light of the world, we as Christians are to be a light, a shining light. And so we will have no light. We will be not like the candlestick on the candle holder, like Jesus was talking about, but we will hide it under a bushel if we don't proclaim the truth. And so to be a light, there has to be the truth. And so with that, I want to preach a message entitled this morning, Who is Your Friend? Who is who is my friend? As I mentioned last week, as we looked at 1 Kings 22, and we see the story of Jehoshaphat, aren't you glad? I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that my parents didn't name me after some of the Old Testament Bible names. Now, Jehoshaphat was a good king. He didn't decide to follow what everyone else was doing, and he just chose to do what was right. But I'm so glad that my name isn't Jehoshaphat. And so I can only imagine what would have been made fun of in school growing up. I don't know about you, but sometimes I chuckle at some of the different names in the Bible. With that, they also had meanings and a lot different than today. But we see that Ahab hated Micaiah. Okay, Micaiah was the prophet in which always prophesied evil unto Ahab, because Ahab was an evil man. And when there's an evil man, you have nothing good to say but evil. And that is true. And so Ahab hated him, didn't want him, but he needed Jehoshaphat's alliance or help in going after Syria, of Gilgal, Gilead. And so we see this story that Micaiah came in and said, you know what, I'm going to say what's true. I'm not going to just go along with the flow. I'm going to say what the Lord says to me. And so that kind of brought me to the message this morning is, who is your friend? Do you consider a friend someone who will tell you a lie because they know that's what you want to hear? Or is a friend someone who will tell you the truth and it hurts deeply? Let me put it this way. Sometimes we don't like the truth, and that's kind of the point of the message this morning, is people don't want to hear the truth. People want to be lied to. we think of those that tell us the truth as our enemies. And that's what Paul was saying in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Let me put it to you this way. Ladies, if you've ever been married or if you ever had a fiancé or a boyfriend, you've ever looked at him and said, how do I look? Do you want him to tell you a lie to make you feel good? Or do you want him to tell you the truth and then hate him for it? of course, ladies, you want to hear the lie. I'm thankful that my wife has realized that there's no way that I can ever come out of that a winner. I'm a loser either way. And so, because if I say, oh, you look great, she's like, you're just saying that because you have to. And if I say something else, then we're not going to be talking for a while. You want them to lie because how is a husband going to truthfully answer? And so with that, we want people to tell us a lie. And when they tell us the truth, ladies, just think, if you were to ask your husband, how do I look? And he'd say, well, you didn't look as good as you did 10 years ago. Or he'd say, well, let me just, you're kind of, gravity is getting a hold of you. Your nails are going to be growing as he's saying it, and your blush is going to not be blush, but it's just going to be rage as you're going to want to kill him. And so with that, you don't want sometimes to hear the truth. Now, I know I'm joking about that, but the truth of the matter is, standing on truth, it's not popular today, if you haven't noticed. And it hasn't been popular since the beginning of time. Winston Churchill said, men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened. That may be a common response to truth, but it places those who respond thusly on the road to tragedy and destruction. There is no way to love and follow God without loving and following truth. They cannot be separated. And so with that, understanding the very important truth that when someone tells us the truth, do we get mad? Or are we thankful that there's someone who loves us enough to tell us the truth? Maybe even if it's not what we want to hear. You tell the truth today. You get on TV and you tell the truth of what's going on in our society and just see how much you're loved. You tell the truth of what's going on in our public schools and why we have the teen pregnancy rate and the crime rate of people going in and shooting up our kids. You tell the truth and see how popular you are. See how they'll be making fun of you the very following day. We live in a day and age where the truth is not wanted. Why? Because sometimes the truth reveals reality. Truth is reality. And sometimes we need to do a reality check. Not only do we need a reality check in our world today, in our country, but we need a reality check in our spiritual life to understand truth is what is important. I heard of a family who had sent their man to the doctor. And he was constantly complaining about being sick or too sick to work. And so his wife and kids, they wanted him to go to the doctor. And the doctor examined him, said, you know what, I want you to get dressed. I'll meet you back in my office and we'll talk about the diagnosis. And he did. He came in and sat down. He goes, give it to me straight, doc. Tell me the truth. Don't use any complicated or any fancy kind of diagnosing words. Don't give me all the medical terms. Just give it to me straight. My family wants the truth. They want it in plain English. What's wrong with me? The doctor kind of cleared his throat and he said, well, I'll give it to you as plain as I can. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just lazy. The man sat there silent for a moment and he's pondering what he's going to say. He goes, I see. He goes, now are you going to give me some kind of complicated, fancy sounding medical term that I can tell my family? See, people don't want to hear the truth. Think, well, how could anybody want to be lied to? Let me use this as an illustration. You're driving down the road and you're maybe in a rental car, and boy, you're thinking, man, if this car could only be mine. The opportunities over the years to drive a rental car, we rented a Toyota Sienna van to drive up to my niece's wedding, and boy, it was so nice. It had that lane assistant steering. I could put it on cruise control. If somebody pulled in front of me, it would slow down. And they got out of the way, it would speed back up. If it started to veer a little bit, the steering wheel would automatically turn. Just it kind of was a little scary, but it would turn to keep it in the lane. And boy, I was thinking, man, oh man, I could see myself driving this every day. I could drive this van. It had all the bells and whistles. It had all the things, the luxuries you think you could use and need. And boy, if you were just driving down a highway and you're just having a good old time by yourself. You ever been that way? Boy, sometimes I get by myself driving. I'm just having a good old time. Boy, I'll put on some good godly music, and boy, the God honoring music, and just driving down the road, and you just kind of lose track of time, but before you know it, you're at your destination. Well, let's just picture you're in that mindset, and you're driving down the road, and boy, it's a nice, cool, sunny day, and with that, you're driving and driving, and all of a sudden you start realizing, boy, I'm not seeing any of my, destination landmarks. I'm not seeing the signs that I should be seeing, and you start to wonder. And so you pull over and you ask a highway patrolman and you say, you know, I'm trying to get to so-and-so. And he'd say, well, he'd say such and such. And he says, but you're on the wrong road. You're going the wrong way and you're headed the wrong way and you're far from where you ought to be. Now, let me ask you a question. Was that officer a friend or an enemy? Here you are enjoying yourself driving down the road, but he tells you that you're on the wrong road. He brought you the bad news. You were having a good time until he told you something you didn't want to hear. But had he not told you the truth would have been a lot harder to bear farther down the road. Sometimes we don't want to hear the things that are being told to us, but the one standing there telling us the truth is our greatest friend. And Paul's question to the Galatians here, and it's the same question for the 21st century church, is that, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? You see, Satan has done everything he can to dilute or to destroy truth. And so with that, I want to give you a little fictional story that kind of help you understand what I mean by that. Once the devil was walking along and with one of his cohorts, and they saw a man ahead of them pick up something shiny. He said, What did he find? Asked the cohort. A piece of truth, the devil replied. Doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of truth? Asked the cohort. No, said the devil. I will see to it that he makes a religion out of it. See, truth taken out of context and twisted is the basis for many, if not all, religions in the world today. You see, if we are going to fight truth decay, we need to study our Bible daily. You know, your dentist says, you gotta fight tooth decay, brush your teeth every day, floss every day, use mouthwash every day. Well, if we're going to fight truth decay, and we do have truth decay in our country, we have truth decay in our pulpits and in our homes and our families and churches across this country because truth is no longer important. We'd rather listen to someone smile real pretty and tell us a lie that makes us feel good and warm and fuzzy inside than for someone to get up and tell us the truth. I don't know about you, when I go to the doctor, I don't want him to lie to me to make me feel good. I want him to tell me the truth no matter how bad it hurts. How bad I don't want to hear it. I want and I need the truth. You and I must have the truth as we understand truth is in God's Word. And so with that, we cannot afford to twist it. We cannot afford to change it or to hide it. And Micaiah, he told the truth. And because he told the truth, he was locked up because of it. Look at verse number 27 of 1 Kings 22. They put him in prison. They only gave him bread and water on a diet. And I'm pretty sure it was probably old, moldy, stale, rotten bread that was thrown out or the leftovers. and water that was probably sitting in a bucket for a while and probably wasn't the cleanest. Because it says, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with the bread of affliction. Well, that doesn't sound very tasty. I don't want to go to Cheesecake Factory and say, yes, can I have some bread of affliction? No. Bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. See, Micaiah had told him the reality. I see Israel. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They're scattered abroad. There's no one to lead them. He was saying, you know what? You go up against this. You go ahead. You have your 400 prophets that want to tickle your ears and say everything you want to hear. But if you do this, you're going to die. So Ahab says, you know what? Lock him up. Lock him up till I come back in peace. And we see that we don't want to hear the truth. A lady had asked her pastor, were you preaching to me on Sunday? You know, understand, if you ever have to ask that question, was the preacher preaching to me? If you're here this morning, I'm preaching to you. Yes, every message you're here, I'm preaching to you. And you may not even be here, and I'm still preaching to you. Understand that as a preacher, boy, you try not to focus on one person, but the pastor responded well. He said, I was shooting down a hole. If you were in the hole, I can't help it. Let me tell you, if the shoe fits, you know, to think, he loved her. But she knew she was wrong. She was under conviction and her conscience was bothering her, and she knew it. So understand, sometimes the truth is hard to take. You ever taken something that you know you needed, but you didn't want to take it? I had the opportunity to be a nurse this week and bring my wife some NyQuil. She wanted two cups. No. And she's like, don't we have the NyQuil pills? And I said, nope, you got to drink it. And she drank. I said, now you got to have another one, because they were little cups for children's doses. And so for adults, it was double. And so she's sitting there going, oh, you know, sometimes we know we need things, but we don't like it. For me, that was a kid. My mom, she was, you know, growing up, it was anything Neosporin. You get cut, you cut your hand off, finger off, Neosporin. Then it came to the goody powder. My mom is a diehard. The little goody powders, you open them up, you got a headache, you're not feeling well, take a goody powder. Have you ever tried that stuff? It is disgusting. And then my mom, if you had a cold, she was diehard Theraflu. And it comes in that powder, and boy, you drink that, oh, that stuff would make you feel sicker than the illness you had. You know, sometimes what we need, it's hard to take. Sometimes what that truth, and someone says something to us and we know they're right, but we're mad at them, we're angry at them because we didn't like it. You understand? Who is our friend? Who do you call friends? Do you call someone a friend because they say and they agree with everything you say? Or do you have someone in your life that always looks at you in the eye and says, you know what, I know you don't want to hear this, but it's what you need. And boy, we sometimes we'll sit there and we'll pout and we'll huff and say, well, that's fine, you're not my friend anymore. You know, you say, well, that's how kids act. No, I've seen some adults act that way too. What do we'll block them on Facebook. Boy, we'll say, you're out of my life. You don't care about me. Sometimes the greatest friend you'll ever have is the one that'll tell you what you need. So many walk out of church saying, oh, that preacher's just hateful. Could it just be that he's preaching the truth and he's trying to save you from a tragedy? That he's preaching, I don't want to offend anyone. But the truth of the matter is, you know, as Christians, we're not called to be loved by the world. We're supposed to follow Christ. We're supposed to represent Christ. And if they hated Christ enough to where they'd crucify him, as Jesus said, you know, they hated me first. Don't be surprised when they hate you too. If you looked around our country today and you see that our Christian liberties, our Christian freedoms are under attack, they're trying to remove any kind of Christianity from our U.S. military. They've tried to removed it from our public school systems. They've tried to remove it from our courthouses. They're trying to remove it from every aspect of our life today. Because if you speak about it, you're in violation of someone else's rights. But when they talk about other things, we're never to say anything because we'll be bigoted if we say that what they say is against our violation of rights or beliefs. But we're not called to be loved by everybody, but to bear the reproach of Jesus Christ. You know, as a matter of fact, if you'll study your Bible and you go through, it's impossible to find anybody who stood for truth. Find me one person in the Bible who stood for truth and was loved by everybody. You can't. You can't because you cannot be loved by everyone. Abel, he was killed by his own brother. Noah was so hated he couldn't get any converts except for his immediate family for over 120 years. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Moses was hated and ridiculed by his family. Elijah was chased by the same Ahab and his devilish wife, Jezebel, until he thought he was the only true prophet left. Elisha was called a bald head. Isaiah preached to deaf ears. Jeremiah wept because of the unruly people he preached to. And his Hebrew friend, Daniel, was thrown into the den of lions. And his friends were thrown into the furnace. David was chased and hunted by Saul, his best friend's dad. And John the Baptist lost his head because he told King Herod he was an adulterer. It was the truth, but guess what? King Herod didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear the truth. Peter was crucified upside down. Stephen was stoned. Paul was left for dead outside Lystra. John the Apostle was exiled on Patmos. James, the brother of John, was martyred. And the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Why? Because he told the truth. The Pharisees and the high priest, boy, they hated Jesus. Why? Because he was preaching and teaching the truth. You think about our world today. You can't go and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ without offending someone. But that's not new. It's not something where you think, oh, you know, where our world has come today. That's always been. Even in the time of the Apostle Paul and Peter, when they went around teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus Christ, that those religious crowd, the Pharisees, would call them in and say, I thought we told you not to teach or preach in that name. They locked them up over it. You understand, we live in a day and age where the only time it's acceptable to talk about the truth. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And let me tell you, that's talking about Jesus Christ, the truth. We have the truth this morning. We have the Word of God. And when you start talking about the Word of God, let me tell you, it will offend some. Because that's what the truth does. How many of you have ever walked in front of a mirror, and every time you looked into the mirror, you always liked what you saw? I know, if you're sitting there going, me, you're a liar. The truth of the matter is, sometimes we don't like the truth. Sometimes, and I'm not trying to get in trouble, sometimes we try to cover the truth. Oh, we'll try to dye it. We'll try to paint it. We'll try to get creams and lotions. And some of you fellas, yeah, you think we'll get wigs to try to hide the truth. I've already told my kids I'm not going there. As it's falling out, I'll say, "You want to see a magic trick? Look," and I'll do that. And boy, the hairs just fall, and they're like, "Dad, stop!" I said, "Well, it's the truth. You know, I'm not going to fight it. It's inevitable. It runs in the family." But to think, you know, they were mad at Jesus because he told the truth. And that's why his name is still hated today, because it stands for truth. Because if you believe in Jesus, you understand that you need a Savior. That there is a God. And he sent his Son to die on the cross to take the sins away of the world. And so therefore, the world doesn't want to accept the truth. So therefore, the only way it's acceptable to use his name is as a cuss word. Oh, I love that song we sang, I think it was last week or the week before. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Oh, it's such a tragedy that the world uses the sweetest name on earth as a curse word. But even more so, I expect that from the world. It breaks my heart more when I hear a child of God use the Lord's name in vain. As an expression. I was convicted several years ago when I've always said all my life, oh my word. Well, you look at John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. We don't go around saying, oh my pronouns, or oh my adjectives. Why oh my word? Because it's another name for Christ. And boy, whether it be through all the Christian slang or trying to use things, understand, there's enough words, there's more words in the English language than any other language in the world. But yet we live in a society where we're stuck on the same 10, 12, four-letter words that we use hundreds of times a day. To think, are we really that ignorant to not know enough English to use other words than profanities or to use the Lord's name in vain that we cannot express ourselves? Oh, it troubles me when a child of God says, well, pardon what I'm about to say. Let me tell you, if you have to excuse what you're about to say, there's a reason why you probably shouldn't say it. Let me tell you, we need to get back to standing for the truth. If we're going to be a light in this dark world, we must stand for truth. And that's why it's so important that we have the truth. That's why it's so important that we fight for the King James Bible. That's why it's so important that we don't let someone come in with another version to try to change it that takes verses out. Because how can we stand for truth if we've changed it? Truth doesn't change. You can try to change your circumstances, but it doesn't change the reality of what the truth declares, what God has said. And boy, I wish I could be assured that if you stand for truth, everyone's going to love you. If you say, you know what, I'm going to stand for Jesus Christ, no matter what my family says, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to try to live the best life that Christ wants me to live. Let me tell you, there's going to be, and everyone's going to hail you as a hero. I wish I could say that. Young people, I wish I could say, you know what, you're going to be popular in high school because you're a Christian. You're going to be popular because you're a young lady that wants to keep herself pure. And everyone's going to value and honor you for that. And they're never going to make fun of you because you are keeping yourself pure until your wedding day. And young men, that no one will ever make fun of you because you've made a promise and a vow with God that you're going to set no wicked thing before your eyes. And boy, you're going to keep your mind and your heart pure and saying, you know what? I'm not going to let the world define me. I'm going to stand for right. And everyone will look at you and say, bravo. I wish I could say that. But let me tell you this morning, truth is not popular. And it wasn't popular in the Bible days of Jesus Christ, and it's still not popular today. But the only one that might receive a hail from in the sense of, boy, wonderful, it might be angry looks. It might be angry words, or it could be worse. But if we suffer for our words, and fellas, when our wife looks to us and says, how do I look? We're going to suffer for our words, trust me. But let me tell you, if we're going to suffer for what we say, I want it to be for truth. I want to suffer for telling the truth. I not for passing along slander or gossip. That's not how I want to let my words get me. If I'm going to let my words get me, I want to stand for truth. That's why the apostle said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. It is better to stand alone with the truth. It's better to stand with no one else around you with the truth than to be wrong with the multitudes. I want to declare to you today, we're seeing our world changing. We're seeing our society change, and we're seeing churches and religions changing with it. I want to just declare to you this morning that no matter what comes in the future, no matter whether it's COVID or something else, they're going to come and try to tell us we can't come to church. It's going to be something else down the road. This was just, I believe, the starting point to see where we're at, how they can manipulate or how they can cut or make up rules and laws to force us into submission. But understand, it's coming. You've got to decide now whether you're going to stand for truth or whether you're going to go along and just, well, I want to make peace, not war. I'm not looking for a war, but I'm looking to stand for truth. And if standing for truth brings a war, then so be it. Because if I'm going to be in trouble, it's not going to be because, like Peter said, because I'm a murderer. If I get locked up, it's not going to be because I was a thief. If I get locked up as a pastor, it's not because I was an evildoer. Now, there are some pastors who are evildoers, and they should be locked up. But if I get in trouble, it's not because I'm a busy body in other people's business. I got enough to deal with my own life. You know, if someone has got enough time to go around and talk about someone else's problems or troubles, and they go around gossiping, you often wonder if they took that same time and invested it in their own life, maybe they wouldn't have the troubles that they have in their own life. And before that, the good Bible verse, you know, something about a camel and a needle and a mote, something along that, I don't know. You know, if we just understand, if we're going to get in trouble for things in the future, shouldn't we let it be because we stood for truth? Because if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Praise God that we get to stand for truth. And when the persecution comes, when they come to knock on the door and say, you got to go to jail because you came to church or because you're talking about that name Jesus and we told you not to. Let me tell you, that's something we get to glorify in. Maybe that's why Paul and Silas were locked up in the inner jail and beaten. And at midnight, boy, we find them singing their little hearts out. Because they're saying, you know what, if we're going to suffer, I want it to be for Christ's sake. It's better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with the multitudes. 1 Kings chapter 22, let's look at verse 13 again. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. What are they saying to him? Saying, Micaiah, we're all as one voice, one church, one body, one belief, one religion. Oh, we're all of the same mind. Be as one of us. Be like the rest of us. Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. You know, I've learned in my short time of life that the majority is almost always wrong. You know, that saying when I tried it with my mom, well, Mom, everybody else was doing it. Then the next line was, well, if they jump off of a bridge, are you going to do it? And of course, as a wild guess, I'm going, oh, that sounds like a... No, but to think, the majority is always wrong. You know, when we understand the majority of the people don't come to prayer meeting, the majority of people don't get involved on a work day, the majority of people don't get involved in special services or even service at the church. It's 10% that do 90% of the work. A majority of the people don't come to Sunday night worship service. A majority of people don't come to Wednesday night. A majority of people don't come to Saturday soul winning or soul winning throughout the week or even take an opportunity to pass out tracts during the week. A majority is generally almost always wrong. That is something I have learned in life. And there is a drive today to create a spirit of uniformity that will connect society. Boy, we've connected everyone through social media and through all the outlets that we're becoming a one world. And what do? When everyone's together, guess what? We downplay differences. We obliterate conviction. One world religion. Boy, what kind of lies are going to be taught in that? Where's the conviction? The Bible says, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. You know, but the Bible says that the path to righteousness is narrow, and few that find it. Understand, the majority is not the answer. Remember that the Antichrist is working to build a one-world church, a one-world state. That's why you see the nonsense of what, and I truly believe, I'm not saying that COVID did not cause people to get sick and die. But I am telling you this morning, we look back and we see that there were those in power trying to use it to their advantage. And we see we're one step closer with the health passports. You can't go anywhere without showing you've got the shot. Let me tell you, there's going to come a day where you have to show the mark of the beast to do anything. We're just one step closer. And boy, I know you say, well, preacher, boy, that doesn't make me feel good and warm inside. I came in here to get uplifted, and now, boy, I'm depressed. Let me tell you, I'm talking about the truth. Sometimes the truth doesn't make us feel all good and warm and fuzzy inside. But the reality is we're living in a day where the religion of America is the get-alongism, where we're un-American if we don't embrace everyone's thoughts or everyone's ideas or everyone's type of lifestyle. Understand, when we go around and we say Jesus is the only way to heaven, we're considered a bigot or narrow-minded. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus is the only way. The truth of the matter is, there are those that say all roads lead to heaven. God is a God of love, and he'll understand. During the edition of the 60 minute program, Dan Rather interviewed Jack Welch. Jack Welch was the outspoken former CEO of General Electric. And at the end of the interview, Dan Rather looked at him and he asked Welch, what was the hardest or toughest question you've ever been asked? Do you know what this CEO, and I'm sure he's had a lot of questions throughout his life, do you know what the question he said was the toughest question he ever was asked? Do you think you'll go to heaven? Here was his response when asked this tough question. Welch said, well, it's a long answer, but I said, if I care about people, if I give it my all, and if I'm a great friend, that counts. Well, despite the fact that I've been divorced a couple times, and I'm not proud of that, I haven't been right all the time, I think I have a shot. I'm in no hurry to get there and find out, but I think I can make it. Let me tell you, the truth of the matter is, no one is good enough to get into heaven. The truth is, and it's not popular that people don't want to hear it, understand, you can't get to heaven except by Jesus Christ. We have to trust Him and Him alone for our sins to get us to heaven and to save our souls. Let me tell you, you can't come and get baptized at this church to get you to heaven. You can't come and just pray at the altar and then that gets you to heaven. You can't come and sit on the front row and say, you know what, I want to become a member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church and that get me to heaven. No, that won't get you to heaven. You've got to realize and understand the truth of the matter. The truth that many don't want to hear is that we're all a sinner before a holy God. Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, there's an eternal separation. And the truth is, we need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ. We need to put our faith and trust. You say, well, Jesus Christ died over 2,000 years ago. Yes, He did. And He died for our sins. And all you have to do, just like those that died before Jesus Christ ever came, all of those in the Old Testament, you know what they were doing? They were putting their faith in Jesus Christ. That He would come. That He would die. that he would pay for their sins. Let me tell you, we get to look back. We have an account of it. We have something they didn't have. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't get the account of how they dragged him through the streets and they beat him. They mocked him and they put a crown of thorns and they nailed him to a cross and he bled and he died for our sins. We do. And just like they put their faith in Jesus Christ that was to come, we get to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ that has come. And he died and he was buried and he rose again on the third day, conquering death, hell, and the grave. Let me tell you this morning, that is the truth. No matter how we like it, who wants to say, you know what? I'm a sinner. I'm a dirty, rotten scoundrel, and I'm flawed to the core. No one wants to admit that. But the truth of the matter is we are. And the truth of the matter is no one wants to hear that they've never done anything good enough in their life to get themselves to heaven. They must trust in something else, and that something is Jesus Christ. Boy, it's a problem out of our control. No human being likes that. But understand the truth is Jesus died for you. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you call upon Him this morning? Again, no one can save you but Jesus Christ. But there are a lot of other individuals here this morning that have had this sharing with them and they would love to share it with you. Would you come forward in just a minute and allow someone to take the truth, the Word of God, and share with you how you can know you're on your way to heaven, that your sins can be forgiven, and that you can have a personal relationship with God as your Savior, your Heavenly Father, and the greatest friend you'll ever have. That's the truth this morning. And it's the truth that Satan and this world have been trying to destroy and trying to keep from everyone finding and knowing. But the reality is you need a Savior. I needed a Savior. The reality is truth isn't popular today. Let me say it never has been. But when we stand for truth, understand you're not going to be loved for it. But there's one person that's worth it all. There's one word the person to glorify through those trials, through those troubles. If we are going to get in trouble, you know, if the Lighthouse Baptist Church is going to get in trouble with the government, I don't want it to be over taxes. I don't want it to be, over the properties or what color we painted our buildings or what our parking lot looks like. I don't want it. If we're going to ever be in trouble with the government, I want it to be over truth. Because we're called and commanded to declare and to stand and to be the light. How can we be the light if we don't declare the truth? Some of us have to make a decision because it's coming. I don't know whether it'll be next year or whether it'll be 20 years from now, but it's coming. We know in the end times things have to get worse, and they are. Look at what's happened over the last 30, 40 years. How far we've come and think where we'll be in another 30, 40 years. And I'm not trying to, get you into, a mindset, let me tell you, no, there's no greater time to be alive. There's no greater time because the darker it is out there, the greater the light we can be. If in World War II, a sailor wasn't allowed to go out onto the deck of a ship and smoke a cigarette because that cigarette could be seen for miles. I don't smoke, but I'm guessing that cigarette's not very bright. What the light can be if we stand for truth. I'm so glad I'm alive today. I would not want to be alive in any other time frame. I want to be where God has placed me, and I want to declare the truth that He has given me. Let's stand for it. Let's make a commitment. No matter what happens, no matter who stands with me, whether I find myself standing and serving alone, whether I find my family disowning me and leaving me all to dry, I'm going to declare the truth and I'm going to proclaim it to everyone. What will you do? Or will you be that so-called friend that will just say what everybody wants to hear? Or will you be the friend to say, you know what, you may not like this, but this is the truth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the strength and the courage of Micaiah, not only to stand up against the king and declare yet another truth against him that Ahab hated, but Lord, that he was willing to do it all by himself. That Lord, if everyone else around us were to leave us, to stray us, to start believing and teaching a false truth or false hope, would we continue to stand by ourselves? Would we continue to be the true friend to say what hurts then heals, or compromise and tell a lie that comforts and then kills? Lord, we need to be a church, a lighthouse in the Orlando area that continues to soul win, that continues to try to see people saved, that continues to have a burden and a heart for missions and wants to see God do great, mighty things through our missionaries. And we pray for them and we get involved and we continue to fight for and stand for the truth, that we not compromise it. Lord, if that's the decision, I pray that those that hear would make, everyone here this morning would make that decision. Lord, I also pray if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that before they leave here, they'll come forward and allow someone to take the Word of God, the truth, and to share with them how they can be saved. Because, Lord, you didn't come and die on the cross and endure all that suffering and all that shame just to keep it a secret. And you've declared and called unto us as Christians to go and declare it. You don't want it to be a secret. But, Lord, it is to many because as Christians we've stopped declaring and standing for truth. Lord, help us put a fire within our hearts, within our souls, to continue to seek and to follow and to stand for truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you would, stand with me. No one looking around. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, how about it, dear Christian? Do you need to make that recommitment to stand for truth? As the piano begins to play, would you come? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, oh, our heart's desire, we would love to share with you the truth. Not a revelation, not a thought that we have, but declare it from God's holy word. The truth of the fact that you're a sinner and there's nothing you can do. But Jesus came, knowing there was nothing you could do, died for your sins and for mine. He gave of himself as the only sacrifice. Would you accept him? Would you come? Many of us know of folks who once stood for the truth that are no longer standing for truth. They've either compromised it, walked away from it, given it up. What will we do? We'll decide now, because you can't make that decision when you're in the middle of it, because your emotions and everything else is going to weigh in and have a factor. We need to decide now. We're going to stand for God. We're going to stand for truth, regardless of who stands with it. If I stand alone, I'm going to still stand for truth. And no matter how bad that truth hurts, sometimes Boy, when the preacher gets up and preaches about your sin, boy, we're sitting there huffing and puffing like, who does he think he is? Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. But the ones willing to tell it are our greatest friends. Oh, we have no greater friend than Jesus. And we see the truth that he has declared unto us, even though we don't like it. So I hope that that's a blessing and help as we decide, as things in our lives start to change and our society changes and the world turns against Christianity. What's once was rallied, and I believe God blessed our country because of it. We're going to see a great change. Say, how do you know that? Well, because the Bible says in the end times there's going to be a great falling away. We're witnessing just something God said would happen. But let's make sure it's not going to be us that falls away, that we stand for the truth. So with that, we've got about 25 minutes before our ladies' luncheon, and it's just about 5 minutes away, so we're good. We're on time. And we'll dismiss this morning in a word of prayer. I'll ask Brother Hyer to close this in a word of prayer. We hope to see you back tonight, our evening service at 6 o'clock. And so I hope you have a wonderful afternoon. Thank you for being here this morning. Visitors, again, thank you so much for being with us. We're so honored and glad to have you here. And let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer.
And let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the word of God, the truth that we've heard. And I just pray that you should help us. And Lord, strengthen us, give us the courage and the power that we need to be able to stand up for the truth, to be able to say the truth in our families, at work, and where we are. Holy Spirit, please help us and strengthen us to follow the truth that you've given us. Lord, we'll give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.